We're going to turn again tonight to the chapter we read this morning, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 10. And we'll read again this portion and watch it very carefully as you read, because there is on the surface a wonderful message, which is very obvious, but then behind it there is a tremendous picture that may not be so obvious to those who are looking on. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. The favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from His own infallible and inspired Word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight for the wonder of the Word of the Lord. And we bless You, O God, that in every circumstance of life there's something there to instruct us and to teach us and to lead us in the pathway, because Thou hast said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And Father, we pray that as we turn to Thy Word this evening, that Thou would open our hearts and our minds, and grant, O God, that Thou would help us to see the deep things of God. And Father, not just to look on the surface, but to dig down into the mind of Holy Scripture, because, Lord, there's much there to make our spiritual experience more wealthy. And Father, we pray that Thou would touch and encourage every child of Thine today. O God, we thank Thee that Thou art married to Thy people. We bless You, O God, there is no divorce. And tonight, our Father, we pray that Thou would bless every child of Thine. And Lord, should there be a soul here tonight that knows not the Lord Jesus, that is not married to Him, O God, we pray that even this night Thou would draw that soul to Thyself and save that soul by Thy grace. Hear this, our prayer, and speak by Thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as I've reminded you already, is Mother's Day, and we have already given a special welcome to those who are mothers. And I believe that every woman, whether she's married or not, is a mother in a sense to some degree, because while they may not have children of their own, still they have spiritual children in Sunday school classes and day school classes and so on. So we do rejoice in the presence not just of the mothers, the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers, but all the women who are here tonight. And of course we have to also welcome the men. Now the fifth commandment tells us, clearly as the children recited this morning, honor thy father and thy mother. And it's always good to set aside a time for a special day just for remembrance. Now in reality, we should remember them every day and practice our love toward them every day. But today is a special day, and we gladly honor the mothers and the wives. And in the Bible, the women have taken a prominent place. You'll find people who come to try and degrade Christianity by saying it does not have a proper place for women. But you look in the very beginning, you have the one who was the mother of all living, Eve. Then you have the aged Sarah and her position, the beautiful Rachel, the faithful Ruth, the prayerful Hannah, the powerful Deborah, the thoughtful Mary. And right through the scriptures you have so many eminent women. And you think that the greatest of all the doctrines, in the sense of being the capstone of them all, the doctrine of the resurrection, was revealed to Mary at the garden. And so we rejoice today in the woman. Now the Bible speaks here of a virtuous woman and a virtuous wife. And it must be a great blessing for men to have a virtuous wife. I know that must be true because my wife told me that, so it must very definitely be true. But seriously, I think of the words of Martin Luther that really blessed my soul. One of the greatest gifts, or the greatest gift, he said, a human gift of God, is a pious, amiable spouse who fears God, loves his house, and with whom one can live in perfect confidence. What a wonderful statement that Luther made regarding the wife, and of course his wife, he dearly loved her in the Lord. Now, Proverbs 31 has this wonderful description of the virtuous woman, and spends quite a while on this very theme. It's almost a poem, because this is an alphabetical section, starting in verse 10 down to verse 31, because you've got 22 verses. And every one of these verses begins with an ascending letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so really what you have here are the ABCs of the virtuous woman. And that is a tremendous blessing as we read it in the light of the woman and the wives and mothers and so on, as we have done today already. But when you're looking at a picture, as we have in the scriptures here, which is a very clear picture of the virtuous woman, do not miss the bigger picture that is in the background. And it's very easy to take the primary meaning and forget the great picture that God has in the background. And tonight I want to see if we can unlock that and open your eyes to behold some of the wonders of the greater picture that is in the background. Now, you'll discover in the Bible, for example, in Ephesians 5 and 25, that the Lord there has wonderfully caused husbands and wives to be a picture. For example, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And the husband is, in a large measure, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride and the wife, she is a picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus. She is a picture of the church of the firstborn, the body of believers. And that's why, in this chapter here, while the primary meaning is, of course, the virtuous woman, in the background, you have this wonderful picture of the church of God, beloved and chosen, and that's what I want to look at tonight. And I have to say, there are so many details in these 22 verses, it would be impossible to go through them all tonight, but we will give you a selection of them, and you can then go home and study further, and I trust the Lord will bless you as you see. It's also a very appropriate time, because on Tuesday of the following week, that's the 17th of May, we're to have this great meeting here with 180 of our people from our different churches across North America and some in Ireland coming here, plus our own people as well. We're going to have the great meeting for the official dedication of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. And so we will be looking at the work of God in the church. And so therefore, to look at this chapter is a profitable study as we understand more and more what you and I, as members of the body of Christ, are to be like in our testimonies here in this world. Now the first thing that comes to my mind is the price of the virtuous woman. It says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Now the question comes here on the very fact that it says, who can find a virtuous woman? It suggests to you that they are not what you would call in plentiful supply. In fact, they are quite rare. Now, to the young men of our congregation, I so much enjoyed the boys playing there, and the girls as well. The young men of our congregation, if not already, will soon begin to think of getting a bride for themselves. And out there are millions and millions of potential brides. But God has just got one for them. He has a virtuous woman somewhere for them, and their task is to find that one. Now, likewise, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in this world there are innumerable false religions and philosophies. But there is only one virtuous woman in the sense there is only one true Christian church, the bride of the Lord Jesus. And so we're looking tonight for that one that is beloved and chosen by our Lord and Savior. Her price is very, very expensive. You'll find that she is trustworthy, because in verse 11 it says, the heart of her husband, and now you can read the Lord Jesus, the heart of her husband, the Lord Jesus, doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so the true Church of Jesus Christ is called as part of the great overall bride of Christ, and we're called in a world where there's so much falsehood. But the question comes, can the great bridegroom, the Lord himself, can he trust us? Can he live in the sense that we will do good for him and that his glory will always be uppermost in our minds? The Church of Jesus Christ is to be trustworthy and also to be Christ-honoring, because it says that she will do him good and not evil. In other words, she'll bear a good testimony of him. You always say, if you want to know what a man's really like, you've got to speak to his wife. Remember down near where Sam used to live, and my stepfather had a little shop there, a little grocer's shop, a greengrocer's shop, and Sam remembers, I believe. And down there, this woman used to come in. We knew her well, Florrie. And Florrie worked in the school where I was, and she gave out the desserts and the dinners. And she knew me, and she always gave me a little bit extra. That's part of the problem that I have now. She always gave me extra. But she came in one day, and she was getting my stepfather to give her some vegetables. And while she was there, this man walked down the street in a boiler suit, walked down there, an old duncer cap on his head, not looking all that great, sort of not shaven and so on. And she says to my stepfather, there he is. That's my husband. He's not much to look at, but I love him with all my heart. And, you know, I thought that was very, very sweet. And you could not say a word against that man, or you'd have had to deal with Florrie. And likewise, the Church of Jesus Christ is to stand up for the Lord. That's why in our day, when we find other churches turning away from the Lord, and you get people like Harper in the paper yesterday still trying to prove that Jesus Christ never existed, that's why we stand up for him. Because he is the great bridegroom of the church, and he's purchased us with his precious blood. and we will stand up and defend His cause, as we sing frequently. And so let us pray in our day when there's so much dishonor being brought to the Lord, that bringing evil to Him instead of that which is good, may God help us to stand up and be counted for Him and be those who will bring honor to His name. But this price, you will notice it says her price is far above rubies. It doesn't say diamonds. It doesn't say emeralds. It says rubies. And rubies, of course, are those precious gems that are bright red. And of course, right there, you've got an indication of the cost of this virtuous woman. She was purchased at the price of the ruby red blood of her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as the Bible tells us, redeemed not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I heard a story years ago of a little girl, and she was, it might have been Mother's Day, and she was talking to her mother, and she was sitting on her knee, and she was just saying, "Mom, I love you." And what greater blessing is there to hear little lips speaking out and speaking of love? "Mom, I love you." And then she started to look at the various parts of her mother's face and said, "Mom, I love your ears." And touched her ears because you hear me when I have a need and you respond, "Mother, I love your ears." And then she looked up and said, "And Mama, I love your eyes. You've got beautiful eyes. And with those eyes you look upon me and you see my need. I love those as well." And then she put her finger upon the lips of her mother and says, "Mom, I love your lips as well, because with those lips you tell me how much you love me and you give me help and guidance and all as you speak to me." And she looked down, her mother's hands were somewhat gnarled and scarred, and says, "Mama, I love your ears and I love your eyes and I love your mouth, but Mama, I don't love your hands." The mother looked down at the hands and said, "Let me tell you the story of the hands." And she told how that when she was a little baby, that her house went on fire. And the cot where the little child was on fire, and the mother went in, as a mother would do, and grabbed her out of the flames. And in so doing, got her hands seriously burned. And she shared that story with a little daughter. And the little daughter says, "Mom, I love your ears, and I love your eyes, and I love your mouth, but now I love your hands most of all." And my friend, we look at the nail-pierced hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Church of Christ was purchased with the shedding of His blood on the cross. And we can say, "I love Thee, Lord Jesus. I know Thou art mine, for Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou, if ever I loved Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now, because His hands all nail pierced in order to bring us to the saving of our precious souls." But you look on in this chapter and you find that her power is visible, because it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Now, the word "virtuous" there, looking at it in English, would suggest, as it does suggest, a holy life and a good life, and that's fine. But you'll find the word "virtuous" in the Bible, in the Hebrew, is a word that has more of the connotation of strength. Now, sometimes people talk, of course, I would never say that, but people talk about the woman as being the weaker vessel. You only say that if you're in the mood for a fight or a row. But people talk about the woman being the weaker vessel. But here, the virtuous woman is the woman of power, a woman of force, a woman of valor, a woman of strength, because in verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And again in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So we're looking here at the strength of the Church of Jesus Christ. And thank God, no matter what the world does to us, and it has tried all kinds of things, no matter what the devil tries, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the strength that the church has is not her own strength. It's a strength that's communicated to her by the bridegroom and by our great Lord and our Savior. And in order to remain strong, as she exercises, verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. So here is weight training for the woman. Now, I'm sure none of the women here be up into lifting weights and so on, but here is weight training. Now, what is that training? Well, in the spiritual sense, it has to do with exercise. And over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, but speaking about the difference there of those who are young in the faith and those who are of full age, it says, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so what you have here is the exercising, not with useless work, but with useful work for the Lord. I went out to our back garden this afternoon to sit in the sun for a little while. And my neighbour who's just moved in, he was in the British Navy for 25 years, very, very fit. He's in his mid-50s, I guess. And yesterday, he just moved in not so long ago, built a fence along the bottom. And there today he was hammering away at the back of the house and going on up and down and up and down. I'm trying to meditate and trying to read the Bible as he's going on like this here. And I felt like saying to him, like we know him well, I felt like saying to him, yes, Peter, what happens when you die? What happens to all those things that you're working at? You're working day and daily, and he already has told me they're not very interested in spiritual matters. But what happens? Thank God for the child of God. We are involved in the Lord's work, a useful work in the extension of the kingdom of God and the grace of the Lord our God. And the church's work is good because in verse 18, she, this virtuous woman, perceiveth that her merchandise is good. And that's good. Because what the Lord has given to us is the good news, the gospel of redeeming grace. And so we have this merchandise and we take it out to others. And the good news is that it comes without cost and without price, because there in the book of Isaiah, we're told there, ho, everyone that thirsteth, and it tells us there, come and come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so there is the blessing that God has given us something worth telling the world about. Now I think of Tom Harper, and I do hope that when the Star puts our ad in, it'll be right beside his article. So when he's coming in his intellectual egotism to read his article and check it out, he'll see right beside him, what? There's the church I tried to destroy in 1976. And the last couple of weeks, he spent this time arguing, trying to prove that Jesus never existed, and if he never existed, you still can have a Christian church, and you can have a lively faith. What in nothing? Thank God the merchandise God has given us is the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as we heard this morning, where Timothy learned the Holy Scriptures that made him, he learned it from his youth, and they made him wise unto salvation. And so the Lord gives us this tremendous message. And again, it says in verse 26 of her chapter, that she, the virtuous woman, openeth her mouth with wisdom. And last week, Mike was reminding us of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where you have the wisdom of the world on the one hand, and you've got the wisdom of God, and even how that what the world would regard as the weakness of God's wisdom is far stronger than the wisdom of this present world. So the Church of Jesus Christ is not to lie down and not to allow the devil to walk over it, but to realize that we're married to the King. And therefore, we go out and we stand for God no matter what other people say to us. And so you have also here her evangelistic endeavor, because in verse number 16, it says that she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So here is the Church of Jesus Christ expanding, enlarging, buying the field, building the work, planting the vineyard, so that there will be fruit. And the Lord has called us to that evangelism of buying the property, plowing the ground with the word of God, preparing it, and then planting the seed of God's word, and then reaping the harvest. And I pray that as we come to this week of prayer, and all of our churches are meeting together, that the Lord will touch every one of us and will get us out to serve the Lord with vigor and with power like never before. And some of our churches are facing difficult times because the devil is trying hard to stop them. But let's pray that the Lord would make our churches strong in the Lord. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. May God give us great rejoicing. Then the third thing is her provision, because she is a hard-working provider for her family. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. And then in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. So the Bible tells us about those who are at ease in Zion. Woe unto those who are at ease in Zion. But the Church of Jesus Christ is called to labor for Him and to work for Him with all the power and energy that the Lord gives us. And the motivation is because of her love for her husband, first of all. And we should therefore pray that the Lord would increase our love toward Him, that we may be able by His power to go out and to provide for those who are round about us. And not only do you have the woman loving her husband, but she also loves her family and wants to provide them. And those husbands here, you know the work that your wife does behind the scenes, just preparing for you and preparing for your family. We have to work for the Lord Jesus and to labor for Him and for His gospel and for the family of the Lord. Now, in verse number 13, it's very interesting because it says, in this labor she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, you will notice it's not some other substance. It is wool and flax. And wool, of course, reminds us right away of the sheep or the lamb, and speaks of the sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then flax. Well, flax is that from which you get fine linen. And I believe that here you have a wonderful picture of the blessing of the Lord and of what the Lord does with us as His people. Now, first of all, we are to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. That's the message from the Church of Christ from day one right to the present day, and will be the same message until the day the Lord brings all His people to glory. Our first task is to preach the gospel of Christ. But then, the fine linen is that clothing that is worn by the bride, and you can read about that in the book of Revelation and in the book of Isaiah. The fine linen is the garment of the saints. And so, it's interesting that here the virtuous woman, she is gathering wool and she's gathering flax. And we think of that wonderful hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And then something else too. Notice there in verse 14, she is like merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. That's interesting, because the food that we have to feed our family with is a food that comes from not nearby, but from afar. The world and some of the modern and the religions, the false religions, what they are doing, they are bringing food from this earth, a food that has to do with here on the earth. But the food that we have is from afar. It is from heaven. And so the Lord has given to us manna that comes down from heaven, and we thank God for that. May God help us to make provision. And also it tells us there in verse number 20 that she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so again, the virtuous woman, she's looking to those who have need. And thank you, gentlemen, for getting that light taken away now that I can see what I'm doing up here. Appreciate that very much. The people are poor and needy. And they're poor spiritually, and they're needy spiritually. And the job of the church is to come and to feed them with the living bread and to give them the wealth that comes alone from the gospel of the Lord Jesus. See, the world today preaches the social gospel. You look at the churches today, all they're looking at, and many of them are looking after the bodies of people. And while there is a ministry to those who are physically poor, there is a ministry there, yet the primary ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ is the gospel of Christ. Because if you get a person converted by the grace of God, then they will be blessed of the Lord. And as David said in the Psalm, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous beg bread. Because once they have Christ in the heart, then they have the provisions that God made for them. And so we have this task, providing the gospel and the help that is needed for poor and needy souls. And then finally, you have her praise, because that's a lovely verse in verse 28 when you think of it in the natural. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now you think of the Church of Jesus Christ as the bride of the Lord Jesus. Her children arise up and they call her blessed. Now children, usually they appreciate their mothers. And if they don't, may the Lord help them, because the Lord has given us the command to honor the father and the mother. The children generally appreciate the mothers. But I wonder how much do we appreciate the blessing that the Lord has given to us, because we could have been an apostate church, being fed on the husks of spiritual apostasy, but today we are in a church where the whole counsel of God is preached. What a blessing it is when you meet people that say, I was helped. I was helped by your church. Somebody in your church spoke to me. Somebody in your church befriended me. Somebody told me about the Lord. Somebody helped me. Your church was a battle to our souls. That's why people, it's very important that when people come to visit here, that you reach out in warmth and love and show them your appreciation that they're here, and give them an ear to listen, and give them a shoulder sometimes to rest upon. And thank God you'll find that those people will rise up and call you blessed, because you've been a means of help to them. And then you've got our works, because in verse number 31, it tells us there that give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise thee in the gates. Now, The Bible tells us, by their fruits shall ye know them. And may God help us as a congregation, part of the great bride of the Lord Jesus, ever reach out and with works of goodness and righteousness, so that others may see there's a difference. Because there are plenty of people in the world who do not show goodness and do not show righteousness. They show the very opposite. But may the Lord, through us, demonstrate to the world at large that Jesus Christ does make a difference in the heart and the life of the people. Notice also her fear of the Lord. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's a respect and a reverence. And I wonder sometimes what people think when you have these churches where there is nothing but entertainment. An entertainment has the idea you've got to have that to bring the people in. But I wonder where the reverence and the respect is for He who is the great bridegroom. Talking to a couple of our church here who were away, and they went to a church that had a traditional service and a contemporary service. So they went along to the traditional service, and they said they didn't know what the other one must have been like, because the traditional one was pretty jazzed up itself. But we come here to worship the Lord, to respect Him, and to reverence Him as the person that He is, the God of very God, the King of kings, and Lord of lords. And our task, and the task of the virtuous woman, is not to have earthly popularity. The favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Those things don't matter. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The child of God making up part of the bride of Christ that feareth the Lord, she or he shall be praised. And who praised by? By the bridegroom, the husband, who will one day say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, and thank and will bless his people because they have faithfully come through and have landed safe in the glory land. Verse 28, her children shall arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What does it matter what the world has to say about us? That doesn't matter very much. But what does matter is what does the Lord, the bridegroom, have to say about you and me as children of the Lord. He knows our toil. He knows the diligence that we have all given towards his work. He knows the concern we have for those who are outside of Christ. He knows the love that has been expressed, and just as we know the love of a mother towards her children. We say, once a mother, always a mother. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Bride of Christ, Jesus looks down and says, I know thy works. And he says, well done. And he will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So today, as we consider the virtuous woman, let us look beyond the natural, away to the spiritual. And may God help us as a people to realize that we're married to Christ. And therefore, we are to be faithful to Him. Faithful even unto death. You find the Bible, how that the people went away after harlots. God wants us to remain faithful to His Son, who is the great bridegroom of our souls. I wonder tonight in closing, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Does He know you? Are you married to Him in salvation? Or have you never been united to Him? He says, whosoever shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The wedding vow, I will. And he's waiting to hear your I will. Will you come tonight and ask him, Lord Jesus, I have failed thee. Will you save my soul and make me part of the church of the firstborn? I trust tonight that you'll come to know him, whom to know is life everlasting. And what a joy, like in the case of our brother Victor, that said to me the last time I was speaking to him before he died. He says, if I have to die, so this is a great trial I'm going through, but if I have to die, he said, may the Lord be glorified in my death. Do pray that on Wednesday that will be the case as we minister the word of the Lord to those who are nearby, and especially those who know not the Lord Jesus. May God help us to be the virtuous woman to those who are in need at this time. Let's bow together in prayer.